glorious some of the devotees. How glorious some of the devotees. How glorious are glorious to Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 10, The Nature of Fruitive Activity, text number 31. Guna, Prajanti, Kamani, Guna, Anusvijate, Guna, Jivas, Tu, Guna, Sanyukto, Bhunte, Kama, Pavani, Asao, Guna Sujanti Kamani, Guna Mus Vajate Gunan, Jivastu Guna Sanyukto, Bhunte Kama Pavani Asao, Guna Sujanti Kamani, Guna Usvajate Gunan, Jivastu Guna Sanyukto, Bhunte Kamphalanyasau. Guna Sujanti Kamani. Guna, the material senses. Sujanti, create. Karmani, pious and impious material activities. Guna, the three modes of nature. Anusvijate, set into motion. Gunan, the material senses. Jiva, the minute living entity. Tu, indeed. Guna, the material senses or the material modes of nature. Sanyukta, fully engaged in. Bhunte, experiences. Kama, activities. Phalani, the various results. Asao, the spirit soul. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The material senses create material activities, either pious or sinful, and the modes of nature set the material senses into motion. The living entity, being fully engaged in the material senses and modes of nature, experiences the various results of fruitful work. It has been explained in the previous verses that the living entity under the control of fruitive activities is pushed down into a hellish condition of life. In this verse, the exact nature of the living entity's dependence on fruitive activities is described. One can observe that one's activities are performed by the material senses and that the living entity himself is merely conscious of such activities. One may be worshipping the demigods, enjoying sex, or performing agricultural or intellectual activities, but in all cases the material senses are performing the work. One may argue that the spirit soul initiates the activities of the senses and thus is the ultimate doer, but such false egotism is negated in this verse by the statement guna srijanti karmani guna Nusvijite Gunam. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, stimulate the functions of the material senses. And the living entity, coming under the control of a particular mode of nature, merely experiences the good and bad results of his work. This does not negate the concept of free will, since the living entity chooses to associate with different modes of nature. By one's eating, speaking, sexual activities, occupation, etc., one associates with various modes of nature and acquires a particular mentality. But in all cases, the modes of nature themselves are acting, not the living entity. The word ashal in this verse indicates that the living entity falsely considers himself to be the performer of work carried out by nature, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3:27. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. The conditioned soul can be liberated simply by giving up this false egoistic conception of life and taking to the devotional service of the Lord, by which the living entity or marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead escapes the disturbing influence of the external potency called Maya. In the devotional service of the Lord, the liberated entity realizes an actual form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It is natural to perform activities with a desire to achieve a good result. The best results, however, can be attained by one who engages in the devotional service of the Lord with a desire to be reinstated in his constitutional position as the Lord's loving servant. In this way, the tendency to exploit one's own activities for a particular result can be purified. Then the modes of nature and the material senses will no longer engage the living entity in illusion. The living entity is by nature blissful, and when his illusion ceases, all suffering comes to an end. The liberated soul is then fit to reside in Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God. Om Jnanatam Anandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshyam Lalitamjana Tasmai Sri Gurudevaya Namah Mukham Kutavacharam Bhangam Nam Hayate Green Kripataraham Bande Sigurim Vancha Kapachu Vyascha Kripa Sanjur Devacha Patitanam Bhavani Yo Vaisnava Yo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this first sentence in this verse is, the material senses create material activities, either pious or sinful. And the modes of nature set the material senses into motion. So you can also say that spiritual senses create spiritual activities. So that's the whole goal of Krishna consciousness, is to spiritualize our senses. And then we'll just engage in spiritual activities. I was just reading in a purport, Prabhupada said, may we become absorbed in the service of Krishna, the more Krishna he reveals himself, he gives himself. Therefore it's stated, taste on the slate, yukdhanam bhagatam purport. To those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can, come to me. So, the more we engage in this devotional service, the more we're pushing ourselves towards Krishna. Here it says that in the purport that the living entity gets pushed down into a hellish condition of life because of their material activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the people in the mode of passion, they don't know what to do. They don't know what not to do. They don't know what is liberating. They don't know what is binding. They don't know what is to be feared. They don't know what is not to be feared. They don't know. Just like we didn't know what to do. We had no idea what to do. We thought it was perfectly all right to eat meat and do all kinds of nonsense. Then we got some knowledge from Krishna about what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita, it's an instruction guide for the human form of life. So by this book distribution, we're giving people an opportunity to understand what is right, what is wrong, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. Because the leaders now, they have no idea, especially our present leader, they have no idea what to do and what not to do. So it's chaos all over the world. It's chaos. People don't know what to do. So fortunately, we have these nice guidelines here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. This is the good morning news. Every morning we get the good news. The non-devotees, they also watch the news, right? The morning news. It's all bad news. Therefore the saying is, no news is good news. But we have good news. Every morning we hear the good news of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the evening we have the Bhagavad Gita. Good news, more good news. And actually in Brazil, they had this one radio station. It was called the Good News Channel. Just good news. But it only lasted 6 months. It ran out of good news. But we've been having the good news every morning for having since, well, Prabhupada started the Srimad Bhagavatam class, what, 1971 or 1970? Something like that. 47 years. Every morning we got the good news. So, we're very fortunate. And we want to increase this good news. We want everybody to get this good news. And that's what book distribution is about, actually, giving people the good news. You're not the body. You're not this miserable body, which is the cause of so much suffering. You're the soul within. And the nature of the soul is eternality, knowledge, and bliss. Srila Prabhupada, he once said that the soul is embarrassed to be in the material body, because the nature of the soul is just that, eternality, knowledge, and bliss. But we're stuck in these bodies, which are temporary, cause of so much suffering and so much unhappiness. So it's a very embarrassing situation. And sometimes it's so embarrassing that people commit suicide. They can't handle it. It's too much. Yeah? So embarrassing. So by this distribution of this transcendental knowledge, people are getting an opportunity to understand reality. I was reading not long ago in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I came across this verse that is, it's presently my favorite verse in the Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, it's described how Krishna, he left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. And to Mathura, he met many different personalities in Mathura. One of them was this Sudama, the garland maker. And this devotee was so, so devoted that Krishna, he said, I'll give you anything you want. Just ask. I'll give you any benediction you want. So Sudama said, Sobhi Vavre Chalam Bhakti Tasmani Vakilam Tadbhakteshu Saradam Bhutesu Chadayantram. He said, Krishna, I just want three things. Please, give me devotion for you. Which is interesting, because he already had so much devotion that Krishna was overwhelmed. I'll give you anything you want. So that means that our devotion for Krishna can reach an unlimited degree. There's no limit to the devotion that we can have for Krishna. It's nice to know, isn't it? There's no limit. You know, people want to be happy in this world, but there's a limit to the happiness, you know, that people can have in this world. Prabhupada said, if there's any happiness in this world, it's in America. Specifically, he said Hawaii. But even in Hawaii, well, there's so much suffering. You know. So there's a limit. Comes to a certain point, then it goes downhill. But in spiritual life, there's no limit. It just keeps on going up. Just keeps on going up. And Prabhupada says in one purport that by taking to Krishna consciousness, one advances in such a dynamic way. He said that this Hare Krishna mantra is especially the way that we advance. And the Hare Krishna mantra, it's like a bow. And the living entity is like an arrow. And this bow shoots the living entity back to the spiritual world, back to Krishna. Yeah. But if you have a bow, and the bow is not tight, the string is not tight, how far is the arrow going to go? It ain't going nowhere, right? If the string is loose, the arrow is not going to go anywhere. So if we're loose in our Krishna consciousness, how far are we going to go? We're not going to go very far. So this chanting of Hare Krishna has to be done very attentively. And what this does, this tightens the string. And this is one of the main offenses that we commit, is inattentive chanting. Very difficult to be attentive. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, all the other nine offenses are due to this one. Inattentive chanting. So the more we chant attentively, that tightens that string. And then we pull back, and the living entity can be shot back to the spiritual world. So it's not easy, of course, to be attentive. In the sixth chapter, Krishna's explaining to Arjuna the yoga system, and Arjuna heard this, and he just thought, Krishna, I find this to be practically impossible. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Because the mind is just so flickering. You know, Pramathi is mad. Bhagavad is very strong. Dhridam is determined. And it's more difficult to control than the wind. It's so difficult. You know, the mind is just... So then Krishna says, next verse, he says, Samsayam Mahabaho Mano Dhridagyu Hamcha Abhyasana Kodya Vairagyana Shkriyate. He says it is undoubtedly very difficult to control the mind, but it's possible by constant practice and detachment. So, how to practice? I heard this one statement by Bhaktivinoda Swami. You know, there's been so many japa reform or notebooks and so many japa retreats, but this one statement by Bhaktivinoda Swami, just like, wow, it's just so heavy. He says, it's so nice actually, he said that when I chant, then I find that I'm inattentive, I stop and I back up one or two beats. And then I go forward. That checks the mind. Otherwise, the mind just keeps going, isn't it? The mind just keeps going. I mean, I've had times where I'm chanting my round, and I'll go a whole round or two rounds. I didn't hear one name. Anybody had that experience? It's terrible. The mind is such a rascal. And you know why? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the mind is a non-devotee. It's a rascal. It doesn't want to hear the holy name. That's why. And therefore, he said, you got to beat the mind 100 times in the morning with a shoe, 100 times in the evening with a broomstick. You got to beat that mind. And he said that was in India where he said that. In the West, we got to beat it constantly, you know, 100 times in the morning. 100, that's not enough. Mind is such a rascal. So, I found this to be really, really good. As soon as my mind goes off, I back up, stop, back up. Let's go back, let's get back on track again. There's nothing been better. Try this out, you know, tomorrow morning, try this out. It's really good. I told this to one devotee. He'd been a devotee for maybe 5 years. He said, Vijay, when I did that, yesterday I had the best rounds I've ever chanted, just from doing that, that little exercise. It's practice. Krishna said, by constant practice. So this is a good way to practice being attentive in our japa. And actually, our whole process is about being attentive. You know, we have an interesting phenomenon in ISKCON. I'm also guilty of it. At night, and we're trying to take rest, you know, and you know, it's, the lights are out, we're laying down, it's quiet, except for last night. Do you guys hear the fireworks here too? Do you hear the fireworks here also? The fireworks? It's terrible. So generally, you know, you're laying down, the lights are out, it's quiet, and even then, it's still hard to sleep, you know, sometimes. But in Bhagavatam class, you know, the lights are on, we're sitting up, someone's speaking, and as soon as they start chanting, you know, Om Namo Bhagavate, you know, people start nodding off. You know? It's an amazing phenomenon we have. But actually, we should hear very attentively. The Holy Name, reading Prabhupada's books very attentively. Sometimes you start to read and you nod off also. I was assuming books recently in Singapore. And of course, one Indian gentleman offered the Bhagavad Gita, and he said, you know, I really like the Bhagavad Gita, but whenever I try to read it, I fall asleep. So what do? I said, you know, sir, I have the same problem. And you know what I do? I stand up. And I walk. He said, oh, yeah, good idea. I'll buy a Bhagavad Gita for you. So, in Kali Yuga, we have these minds. The mind just doesn't want to hear it. And that's why it's hard to be attentive. The mind just wants to go out and enjoy. So we have to, Prabhupada says in one quote, he said, we have to drag the mind. We have to drag the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. We have to drag the mind to being attentive. Yeah, just, in the early days, you know, I mentioned that how we, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that we should beat the mind 100 times in the morning with a shoe. In the early days, devotees sometimes used to take things very literally. So they were doing that. They would all go down to the basement, they would get somebody else's shoe, and 100 times they would give a knock on the head. So Prabhupada heard about that. And Prabhupada said, no. You beat your mind with your intelligence. And so the devotees stopped doing that, but many of them were lamenting after they stopped because that was a good part of the morning program. So how do we beat the mind with our intelligence? We have to nurture the intelligence by hearing very attentively. And that makes the intelligence sharp. And that keeps the mind down. Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, I was in Mayapur, during the Mayapur festival, and he gave a nice example. He said, just like a balloon. You have a balloon and you put it in the water. As soon as you let your hand up, it pops up out of the water, the balloon. Right? So, with our intelligence, we have to keep the mind down. And as soon as we allow the intelligence to become weak, then the mind pops up. So, we have to become very strong with our intelligence. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that whoever studies the Bhagavad Gita worships me by his intelligence. Powerful statement there. Just reading Bhagavad Gita makes our intelligence very sharp. Yeah? And that's how we worship Krishna, by our intelligence. So this, going back to this, it was Zopa Gavraya Chalam Bhakti, that he prayed for devotion. The next thing he prayed for, he said, please give me friendship with your devotees. So we have devotion for Krishna, but we don't have friendship with the devotees. I mean, Krishna's pleased, though, because we have devotion for him, but he's not very pleased if we don't have friendship with the devotees. Yeah. So this is something else we can pray for. Pray for friendship with the devotees. Because in Kali Yuga, you know, there's a statement, Krishna says, that All living entities are born in this world bewildered by the dualities arising from desire and hate. We're born in this world with hate, with envy. So it's there, you know, this hate is there. So we have to pray to Krishna to become free of this. And I was listening to a nice lecture yesterday, Prabhupada said, when you develop your love for Krishna, then we love everyone. We love everyone once we develop our love for Krishna. So this is related to this devotion. Once we have devotion for Krishna, then we'll have devotion for everyone. And we'll want to help everyone. We'll go out of our way. Just like there's a statement that life begins when we step out of our comfort zone. That's when life begins. In Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that one who has life will preach. So to go out of that comfort zone, it's not easy sometimes. The mind doesn't want to step out of the comfort zone. But with our intelligence, we should step out. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also said that when we're preaching Krishna consciousness and we're experiencing some difficulty, this difficulty is an injection of spiritual blood in our spiritual body. I was like, wow, okay, this is good. Difficulty is very good. It gives impetus for us to be more Krishna conscious. And therefore the statement, tattena kampam susamiksamano bhumjana ivabha kritambi pakam kritbhakta virvridhammanaste jiveti umukti pate siddhoyabhak. Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion, he says this verse is the guide for all devotees of Krishna. This is the guide. Because in the material world, there's difficulty. You can't avoid it. Yeah? But a devotee thinks that whenever there's a difficulty, this is good. I deserved it. Actually, I deserved much worse. But Krishna's very kind, and he's minimized the difficulty. Yeah? So this is a verse that comes up quite often on book distribution. And that gives impetus to think of Krishna. So, Lord Ramana says, always seeking your compassion, thus tolerating all difficulties as being due to my own past activities, and always serving you with mind, body, and words, such a devotee is eligible to inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a negative and there's a positive. You know, we're feeling some difficulty, we take shelter of Krishna, and then we continue serving Krishna with our mind, with our body, and with our words. So that's the second thing he asked. But then the third thing, he said, please, my Lord, give me compassion for all living entities. So these are the three things that Sudama asked for. And when I read that, I just thought, wow, that covers everything. Because we want to have devotion for Krishna, right? We all want devotion for Krishna, something we're always praying for. We want to have friendship with the devotees, although sometimes we have some friction with some devotees. We should pray to Krishna to become free of that. You know? To be free of that. It's not easy, you know, you got these minds. But it's something that we should definitely pray for. And then compassion. Compassion is another difficult one, because we're born in this world with hate, with envy, so compassion is just the opposite. It's just the opposite. So this is something else that we can pray for. And Krishna, he reciprocates. Man proposes, God disposes. So more we pray for these things, the more Krishna he will give it. Lord Chaitanya said that there's two reasons why Krishna doesn't give love for him. One is we actually have to be attached to Krishna before he gives love for himself. We have to be attached to Krishna. Now we're attached to so many things, mainly to this body and to things that are related to this body. Yeah. So this attention is related that if we're attentive in our devotional service, we become attracted. We become attracted to Krishna. If we're not attentive, how are we possibly going to become attracted to Krishna, right? And if we're attracted to Krishna, then we become attached to Krishna. So I call it the three acts. Yeah? attention, attraction, attachments. So this attention is so important. Then we can become attracted to Krishna. So what I found is by going out on book distribution that this compassion, it comes out gradually, it comes out, because you see, when you go on book distribution, the amount of suffering that people are experiencing, it's in your face. Yeah? It's in your face, isn't it? We have Janmasthami, an old time book distributor. I've seen so much suffering out there, it's just unbelievable. I approached one guy in the LRX one time, and he said to me, even if you punched me in the face as hard as you couldn't make me feel any worse than I feel right now. I said, whoa, what happened? He said, I've been married for 25 years, and my wife just ran off with another man. I'm here trying to catch that guy. Suffering there so much. Another guy, just a few weeks later, I approached another guy. He was in the same mood, you know. He was married, and his wife just emptied out his bank account and went back to her native country in the Philippines. And he was in the airport looking for her. You know? And he was fried. Both of them have books, by the way. They didn't give donations because, well, I figured these guys are not ready to give a donation. I said, well, here, take this. This will help you out in your problems. So, people are suffering so much in this world. So a devotee is called Dukkaduki. When he sees others suffering, it gives pain. Prabhupada was in a car going to Japa Walk in Los Angeles, and he looked to the right and he saw there was one man in a field, and he had a stick, and he was hitting something. Prabhupada asked it away, what's he doing? And he said, Prabhupada, this man, he's got a stick, and there's a ball, and he's trying to hit the ball in a hole on the field there. And it's called golf, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started crying. He said, it's simply another way to forget Krishna. People are figuring out so many ways to forget God. So Prabhupada had so much compassion. That's why this movement is all over the world now. Because of one pure devotee's great compassion. So we can pray for that as well. Pray for this compassion. And Krishna will give it. He'll give it. If we just get these books out, people will benefit. There's a saying in India that there's someone's name on every grain of rice. It's destined for someone, every grain of rice. What to speak of Prabhupada's books? These books have, they're not just books. These are Krishna. The books and Krishna are non-different. Therefore, some devotees, they wanted to put deities in their sankirtan vehicle. And Prabhupada said, no, not necessary. Just worship the books. Worship the books. In many places, I've seen that devotees, they put books on the altar, especially during marathon time. They put books on the altar. So these books, they have mystical abilities. I'll tell you an interesting thing that happened. You know, Radha Swami, he used to do most of his preaching here in America, college preaching back in the early 70s. And he was hitchhiking one time, and one guy picked him up. And, you know, Radha Swami is a very friendly person. So he asked this gentleman here, so what do you like to do? And he said, you know, I like to meditate. Oh, nice. Well, what kind of meditation do you do? Well, I chant this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I said, really? Where did you hear about this mantra? He said, I got this book, Bhagavad Gita. I said, oh, nice. Well, how did you get the book? He said, oh, you won't believe it. I was at a store, and I got this watermelon, you know, one of these quarter slices of watermelon. So I'm outside the store, I'm eating this watermelon. It's a real good watermelon. It fell into the trash. I was eating it over trash. It fell into the trash. Now, generally, I wouldn't do this, but it was a good watermelon. So I reached down there to get that watermelon, and I pulled out this book, Bhagavad Gita. And I liked to read, so I thought, hey, maybe it's a good book. Then I reached down and got the watermelon. I took it home, and I read this book 3 times. It's the most amazing, most sublime wisdom I ever heard. So from reading that book, I started chanting this mantra. So then Radha Swami said, well, you know, I chant that mantra also. That's my meditation. That's what I do. And you know that book, Bhagavad Gita? I read that book every day. I'm a devotee of Krishna. And he said, you're a devotee of Krishna? Wow, I always wanted to meet devotees. Well, you see, there is a God. There is a God. And they said, well, where are you going? Radha Swami said, I'm going to the temple. I go to the temple. He said, you mean there's a temple around here? I said, yeah, I'm going. That's where I live. He said, really? Can I go too? Radha Swami said, well, yeah, you're driving. Let's go. So he was so happy. And it turns out this person was a welder. And they were building the Prabhupada's palace of gold. And he also just happened to have $5,000. So he asked Radha Swami, can I give you a donation? He said, yeah, if you insist, all right. And he gave him $5,000. They went to the bank and got it out. And he you probably know his name. So what's his name?
Tamal.
Yeah. Was it? But no, he's a proper disciple. He's a proper disciple, right? Oh, anyway. So someone, you would think if someone got the Bhagavad Gita, put it in the trash, that's the end of that. Right? This is not the end. It's not over yet. I just heard about it. I was in London just recently, and as I was leaving London, coming here to America, one Sankirtan devotee told me a Farhat story. He was in a forest, and somehow he lost his phone. So one devotee friend of his, called him up, and the phone is in the forest on the ground ringing. So some guy's walking by, and he hears the ring. And he's like, there's nobody around. Why is there a phone ringing around? So he follows the sound, and he picks up the phone, answers it, and says, sorry, but this is not the person you're trying to call. Whoever you're trying to call lost his phone here in the forest, and I just happened to pick it up. So he's probably in anxiety about his phone. And the devotee said, yeah, he's going to be big anxiety. Can you do me a favor? I don't live very far from where you are right now in the forest there. Can you bring the phone to me, and I'll give you a reward for it? And the guy said, no, it's not, I can bring it to you, no problem, you're not far away, I don't need a reward, that's okay, I'll do a favor, I like to do good deeds. So he went over to this person, and while this person's bringing the phone over, this devotee is thinking, wow, this guy is really nice, I'll give him a Bhagavad Gita. So the person shows up at his door and gives the phone to him, and the devotee goes, well, here, I want to give this gift to you, the Bhagavad Gita. And this man couldn't believe it. He said, you know, I've been looking for the Bhagavad Gita for years. And now you're handing this to me as a gift due to bringing you this phone. And he said to this devotee, there's definitely a God. Amazing. See, his books are mystical. You know, Krishna makes all these arrangements. Unbelievable. I got a couple more forest stories. One devotee, he's in the forest with his dog, walking his dog. You know, kind of a big dog. He's walking and the dog stops and he's smelling something there. So, you know, the master of the dog tries to pull him around and he won't budge. So the master comes by and he can't even see what he's smelling. So he moves the leaves away and there's a Krishna book there. He says, what is this book doing out here in the middle of the forest? So he sits down, he starts reading it, and he finds it interesting. Takes it home, and he reads the whole book, finds out where the temple is, visits the temple, becomes a devotee. This is probably the first time in history that a dog became a Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada guru. He's a Prabhupada disciple. I can't hear it. Trinakarta. Yes. Yeah. That's how he became a devotee. He became a big book distributor as well. Yeah. Another time, I'm doing the forest. There's so many forest stories. One man, walking through the forest, and you know how they have these outhouses in the forest, along the trails. So this one particular outhouse, there was one of these, the water container was on the top, they have the tank up there, and you pull the string, and after you pass, and then, so he pulled the string, and the whole thing came tumbling down. You have water just flying everywhere. There's a Bhagavad Gita in there. True story for this. So he picks up this book, and of course it's completely waterlogged, just drenched. But he looks at the cover, and Bhagavad Gita, and think, well, it might be interesting. So he took it home, let it dry out, and he read it, and he became a devotee. So these books are mystical. We have to get the books out there. We just have to get the books out here. And here in Ganjo, in Alachua, I've heard book distribution is really sweet. Janmastami Guru here told me that he was going door to door, and sometimes in an hour and a half or 2 hours, he'd do like 15 books and, collect a good amount of Lakshmi. Because there's so many people around here that went to U of F and stayed here and are working here now. And then when we come to the door, like, oh yeah, you guys helped me through school. Come right in, You want me to get a book? Sure, how much do you want? he was in ecstasy distributing books here in Ganjo, in Alachua. So book distribution is such a wonderful activity. One of my great inspirations is sitting right here in Nartaka Gopal Prabhu and Mother Sukada Makiki. They distributed books for so long in Miami, and they were such saintly devotees, and they gave me inspiration just seeing them out there. She would go out there with a baby on her back, I think at first in the front, and she was distributing books there. I was like, wow, such a dedication. So a lot of my inspiration came from these devotees in the early days of Miami Yatra. So it's such a wonderful activity. And Krishna, he gives hints on how important this is. He says, Yaidam Paramam Guyam Mad Bhakti Surahasis. That anybody who is distributing this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is very, very dear to me. And there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person. So Krishna is saying here, this is his soft spot. This is his soft spot. You all understand soft spot. If you have a friend that really likes something, you do that, then they're pleased. So this is very, very pleasing to Krishna. Because Krishna is feeling some pain. I was listening to a lecture, Prabhupada said that Krishna is feeling pain. Paradukaduki sees others suffering. He's also Paradukaduki, sees others suffering, gives pain. Just like imagine there's a father with a son. And this son is very nice, very gentle, and very submissive to his father, and a real gentleman. He has another son, and he's also very nice, but he goes sour. And he goes out and he commits all these crimes and drinking and drugs and just becomes a pain to his father. Causing suffering to see his father, to his son, just become so degraded. So imagine that the good son goes out of his way, out of his comfort zone, to help his brother. And he does. And he becomes a good son again. Imagine how good the father is going to feel towards this good son that helped the one that went off. Imagine how good he's going to feel towards this good son. So Krishna feels like that also. If we go out of our comfort zone to help the conditioned souls here that are suffering so much. It gives him great pain to see them suffering, and gives great pleasure when he sees that we go out of our way to help them, to help our brothers, to help our sisters. Yeah. And now we have this monthly Sankirtan festival. Did you have that going here before? Has that happened here? Just now starting? Yeah. It's a great program. You know, Vaiseshika was such a genius. It's not asking for a lot, but it's something. And here one of his models is, you get a lot of people doing a little, it becomes a lot. Yeah. I mean, I know everybody has their services, and it's not easy to go out and book distribution, but just this, you know, 2 or 3 hours a month, that's not much, but it can be a lot if you have a lot of devotees doing it. Yeah. And it's such a wonderful activity. Sometimes devotees ask me, Vijay, how have you been doing it for so long? And so I can't think of anything better to do. Yeah. It's such an ecstatic activity. Yeah. Because the book distribution is such that you have to take shelter of Krishna. And that's our goal, right? You have to take shelter of Krishna. So if you're in a situation where you have to take shelter of Krishna, that's wonderful, right? That's great. So it's such a wonderful activity. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, then distribute books. So this is also Prabhupada's sāspat. Whatever is Krishna's sāspat is also Prabhupada's sāspat. So, I'll tell you one more story. In Lithuania, there was one young man who had become a criminal. At 19, he had become in the top 10 wanted list in the country. So he thought, I better get out of here. They're going to catch me. So he left the country and traveled around Europe. In his travels, he went on like a spiritual quest. He started asking about the soul and God, and he was inquiring from people, and people were telling him, you know, you should go to India. You want to know about God and spiritual life. That's the Mecca of spirituality. You should go to India. So he heard this a few times. And then he thought, yeah, might as well go to India. So he hitchhiked to India. And while he was traveling around India, he got one of Prabhupada's books, Science of Self-Realization. And he had been reading other books about spirituality, but the Science of Self-Realization hit him really hard. Man. This is really pure. So then, not long after that, by the arrangement of Krishna, he met some devotees, found out where the temple was, started visiting the temple. Eventually, he became a bhakta there. Now, he had been gone from home for maybe 4 years. So he thought he could call his mother. So he called his mother up, and he's talking to her for a while. And then he said, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, I'm a monk now. She said, you're a monk? I can't believe it. He said, yeah, I've been a monk now for 2 years. 2 years you've been a monk. Wow. And she said, well, what kind of a monk are you? He said, I'm a Hare Krishna monk. And she said, well, how about you? He said, how do you know how about? So some devotees were going door to door, and they offered a Bhagavad Gita to me. I bought it and found it interesting. Started visiting the temple. I'm an initiated devotee now. And he was still a bhakta. This is the family that prays together, stays together. So, I'll tell you one more story. I told it, this is an amazing story. I told it last night. Some of the devotees, I love Lucy, for some of the devotees here. You've heard this before. But it's really good. In Russia, during the communist Russia days, there was one officer. He was a major
in the military, and he had some health difficulties, so some other officer said, you know, if you do some yoga, that'll probably help you out. He started doing that, and then he heard that there was two privates that were also into yoga. So he told his secretary, he called his privates over there, and this major, he was famous as being kind of like a mean officer, so these privates were shaking, you know. They were worried, you know, what's going to happen to us? You know, communist Russia, you know, heavy. So they went there, and the major said, I understand that you're practicing some yoga. Well, yeah, we're practicing bhakti yoga. Well, yeah, you have some literature on it? He said, yeah, we have the Bhagavad Gita here. So he handed it to him. And the officer's looking at it. He says, yeah, I think they'll find this interesting. And the bhakti said, well, you know, we just asked for a donation for it. And he said, if I like it, I'll give you a donation. And they dismissed him. A couple of weeks later, they saw him and said, have you started reading it yet? No, I'm too busy. I haven't started yet. And a week later, they saw him again. Start reading it yet? No. Too busy. So a couple of nights later, he thought, well, I'll just read the translations. Some of the translations. Couple nights later, while he's sleeping, Prabhupada comes to him in a dream and speaks in perfect Russian. I think it would be good if you read the purports too. So the next morning, he starts reading the purports. Now he's a sannyasi traveling around Russia, preaching Krishna consciousness. Jiva Bhagavad Gita. How long does class usually go to here? I think there's a microphone.
In the beginning you said that in our devotional path we have to be attentive. And attention causes attraction, which causes attachment. But my question is, what causes attention?
What causes attention?
Yeah, you said attention causes attraction, causes attachment. What causes attention? So I can follow.
Association with the devotees.
That's nice.
Just like I heard this from Bhakti Tirtha Swami.
Oh, this from him?
Yeah, Bhakti Tirtha Swami said this about, you know, stopping and backing up one or two beats. So from hearing that, from Bhakti Tirtha Swami, now my japa is more attentive. So by association with the devotees, we hear, you know, just like they've had these japa retreats. I'm sure there's other methods for increasing our attention to hearing properly our japa and our reading. So this is one that really stuck out, and many devotees have benefited from this. So yeah, give it a try. It's good.
I will. Thank you.
But I mentioned this to one devotee. He said, if I did that, if I stop and back up every time I'm inattentive, I'll be chanting my 16 rounds all day long. Yeah.
I got a couple stories and a question. They're both quick stories. I had a devotee in a traveling Sankirtan party in 89. And he became a devotee. He was actually a hippie from, I think, Austria. And the hippies in those days, they would work in the summertime and harvest apples and things like that, just little jobs. And in the winter, they would go to the island of Crete in the Mediterranean and live in caves. So this one devotee, or soon to become a devotee, was looking for a new cave, and he's in a crevice between two huge boulders. He saw a book. He reached down. He really had to reach to get it, and he pulled it up. It was a Bhagavad Gita, and he read it, and that's how he became a devotee. And the same devotee told me of another story of a devotee that lived in France, lived in Paris, and he was habituated to fishing in the river Seine, which flows right through Paris. And one day, he got something on his hook, and he reeled it in, and it was a shrink-wrapped Krishna book. hinted at it when it came into vogue. And my question is this, you were speaking a lot about compassion. It seems that this inner movement, the most difficult, well, it's difficult to go out. It's also, it seems to be quite difficult to direct that compassion within the devotional community to other devotees. Oftentimes we hear stories about devotees that really need help, but yet there's no one they can turn to. And when they go to someone, you know, it's like kind of a cold, you know, cold reception and a door slammed or whatever. And I think it's a pretty major issue that has to be dealt with. I mean, the GBC has their Toto Care Committee and, you know, a lot of efforts being made in this direction. And the reason it's being taken up by the leadership because it's not really being dealt with so appropriately. I wonder if you have any thoughts or comments in that regard.
Yeah, well, that's there with this devotee. He prayed, please give me friendship with your devotees. If we don't have love and Prabhupada, that this movement is going on by what is it, love and trust. Yeah, so it's so important. Yeah. So the more Krishna conscious we are, yeah, by our attentive, see, it's all there in the attention. If we're attentively engaged in devotional service, then we advance in Krishna consciousness, and these qualities of compassion, they come up automatically. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati kinchana. That all the good qualities of the demigods automatically rise in someone who has become a devotee of Krishna. So it's all in this becoming sincere devotees. It all comes up.
I have a story.
Hare Krishna.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is
that okay?
I met Lucy Ball at the airport.
Lucy Ball.
I didn't know who she was. I was distributing books at Kennedy Airport, and she was sitting watching me, and I guess I must have been going for a while. Nobody was taking any books, but I must have been happy and smiling. So she called me over and she said, "What are you doing? What are those books about?" I can't remember exactly what I said, but I said, "These books will make you very happy. It'll make you, you know, want to know who God is." And she said, "I don't understand why nobody's taking them. Let me see one of those books." So she took one. I can't remember if it was the Bhagavad Gita. I also had the sixth canto. And she looked at it and she said, "I'll take this book." And I guess she turned to a person next to her who was her husband later on, I found out. And she said, "Give her a donation." So he said, I didn't even ask for a donation. She was just looking at the book. And then, so he gave me, I think, $200. And I said, "You need some more books?" She said, "I'll take everything you have, all the books, one of everything." So I made a stack and I gave it, and he kept giving me more money. And so I think he gave me $500, if I remember correctly.
Well, she was a millionaire. He probably was, too.
I didn't know. So then I had a habit of signing books, you know, group was shot, and I said the address where we're from. And she said, I forgot what I was going to say now. So I said, "Who should I make it out to?" Because I usually put their names in it. She said, "Lucille Ball." So I put Lucy. And she said, I must have just said thank you and walked away. She said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And I said, "A movie star?" She looked at me and she said, "I'm Lucille Ball." And she said, "You don't watch my show, I Love Lucy." And I said, And she said, "You know, I was new."
Give me money back.
No, she was amazed. She said, "I thought everybody watched my show. Everybody." Anyhow, he said, "I'm sure it's a very nice show, but I said, if you'll read these books,
it'll
change your life."
Wow.
At Kennedy, we used to meet so many movie stars, all the time, but I was very
sure.
I didn't know who they were. I met them.
Nowadays, we're also meeting them, but we don't know who they are. We don't watch these movies.
I have one more story, and then I'll tell.
All right, let's hear it.
I was at, I think, Dallas Airport, and this couple came by, and I tried to give them a book, and he said, "Honey, please, I just got married. I'm really looking forward to my honeymoon. Don't tell me anything about it. It'll restrict my sense gratification like that." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, maybe you can read this in your spare time." And he said, no, I'm too happy. I don't think there's any more happiness in this world, right? I'm too happy. Please don't interfere. So I said, okay. So anyhow, I was at the airport. I must have been 2 or 3 weeks later. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder. And I turned and looked at, and I said, yes. He said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, no. He said, remember the guy who just got married? And I said, the young man, you look so different. He was, you know, he was grieving, obviously. He was very old looking. I said, my God, what happened to you? He said, she died swimming in the ocean. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, I offer my sympathy. Then he said, tell me what you want to tell me now.
Oh.
And for an hour, he wouldn't leave me alone. You know, I told him, I told him about Krishna, I told him about, you know, how miseries in this world. And he sat there, and other people would come because, you know, we used to, in the airport. He said, I think this was meant to happen. I had to lose my wife to meet you.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many different things, you know, when people are ready or how Krishna, sometimes the first impact is not there, but then, you know, they remember. Somehow they remember that I had a solution.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you, Nanya Book Distribution. Ki Jai.
I hope to be as well. If it meant there, then I'll. Thanks.